Welcome to September 26th, 2018, Your Living Brand Live Show. My name is Ben Baker, and my company is Your Brand Marketing. Now, this show, the Your Living Brand Live Show, is all about how do you add value? How do you stop being a commodity? How do you stop being one of many? How do you stop being just another price out there and start being a brand worth loving and someone that people trust? How do you gain influence? How do you get people to understand how you're valuable to them? Now, each week, we bring another guest on board, and they give us the story of how they interact with their customers, how they communicate their value to their audience. And every week, there's something new I learn and another tip. So this week, I have Gare Maxwell. Now, Gare spent 20 years working in the radio industry, was terminated, and ended up having to rebuild his life. And this is how he did it. And he is on stage every week, talking to different audiences and motivating people and teaching them their own value. So sit back, enjoy the conversation, and I'll be back after the show. You know, for those of you who don't know, this show is all about what makes people unique. And Gare is unique. Gare is one of the most unique individual people I know. I mean, he's dynamic. He's fun to listen to. He's, you know, he's energetic, and he does some incredible things. So, Gare, tell me what you do. Tell me, you know, who your audience is, what you do, why you do it for them, and you know what, why do they care about you? Because you've traveled around the world in doing workshops and keynotes and all that type of thing. So tell me your story.
Well, my story actually, if you want to get right to the heart of it, starts from, it would be May 21st, 1999, and a 20-year broadcasting career is literally terminated in two sentences on company letterhead. I'm given 15 minutes to leave the building, get out the door. Within a week, I am broke, busted, on the unemployment line, no severance, and hoping not to be recognized. And I go home, and later that day, there's the dismissal story plastered on the front page of the paper in a two-station town. This is way before the internet, of course. So basically, for the better part of 20 years coming out of high school, broadcast journalism was the only thing I had ever known.
And right.
I had literally grown up inside a radio booth or a TV studio. Uh-huh. And that background, while it helped in some respects, was also not the easiest background for getting your head around the real life of real business.
And sure.
So there was nothing. Being inside the media bubble that equipped you for being in the world of running a real business. And I jumped knee deep into the entrepreneurial pool with a company out of Mississauga. It was I got my start in soft skills business training. It was kind of like a Carnegie outfit, kind of like that. And they're no longer around. Mm-hmm. So the mothership tanked. I went on to work with a number of small businesses and their people on things like customer service training, team building, all these things, Ben. And you do this for a decade or so, and you do start to learn how real business works in the trenches. And then, lo and behold, along the way, I wound up writing a book. That opened a few other doors, and the doors haven't stopped opening. And now, like you said earlier, I'm privileged and fortunate to literally travel all over the world. Some call me a reinvention strategist. Some call me a brand historian, whatever it is. I'm a storyteller at heart.
And I'm with you.
I get to share stories with CEOs and senior executive teams. Last week it was at Torrey Pines in San Diego and Charleston, South Carolina. Tomorrow we'll be heading to Regina and you know, the tour continues, as it were, through 2018. But at the heart, we discovered some interesting dynamics about the power of story and how it can literally not only create significant differentiation in any market space, but also greatly accelerate demand and value. And so I've got this one signature story I mean, there's a bunch of them, but the signature story is still one of the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, and, you know, maybe your audience would just love to hear it. It's,
yeah, it's, absolutely. Yeah, tell it.
And it's a complete accident, and there was no plan. But in 2002, I was speaking at the Fredericton, New Brunswick Chamber of Commerce, mm-hmm. and this guy comes up afterwards and introduces himself, and he's a real quiet gentleman, and he hands over his business card, and it says, right on the card, it says, "The glow of one warm thought is to me worth more than anything. Thank you." And I look at that card, and I look at him, and he's telling me what he does for a living, and the two things don't quite add up, and I say, "Sure, I'll go over, and I'll take a look." And sure enough, there was a small business at the time. This is 2002. It's him and his wife. They got about 4 or 5 employees and maybe a part-timer. They're doing about 1.5, 1.8 million a year.
Which for a small company is not bad.
Not bad, but it's a small mom-and-pop family business.
Absolutely.
The product basically is interchangeable. And Jim and I started working together, and the business started to grow incrementally. And it was very incremental. And then in September of 2006, we did something. We kind of stumbled onto this thing. And we did something that dramatically shifted the tides forever. And so that September 2006 moment, Jim and his wife and I can always look back and say, that's
the line in the sand. That's when magic happened.
And since then, that business now employs 33 people. They move well over 100 units a month. They did north of 42 million last year. They're still growing. And it's the story of Jim Gilbert's Wheels and Deals, Canada's huggable car dealer. So,
and it's such a simple thing, you know.
It is, but the profound truth is that in the worst category in the world, certainly one of the worst in terms of public perception.
Absolutely.
What's happened is it's kind of like I always like to say, if Walt Disney himself imagined what a used car lot would look like, this is actually it. Mm-hmm. And so there will be hundreds of teddy bears all over the place. He's got the mascots. He's got the merry-go-round out front. He's got a nature trail to walk your dog. He's written kids' books. It's a larger-than-life experience in a most unlikely category. So what it really speaks to, Ben, and what I help other companies and their people and organizations understand, it really speaks to things like the power of imagination, the power of seeing yourself somehow larger than life, and creating a brand persona that is so different from everybody else in your space.
Absolutely.
And do it in such a way, though, that is authentic to you. I mean, Jim and Donna were already lovely people. They're very nice people. They're quiet, they're kind of shy and soft-spoken if you want to know the truth. And so they were huggable, metaphorically, and literally long before we started telling the story. But once we started telling the story, then everything changed.
Yeah.
And so you know, like I say, we kind of stumbled onto it, but over time, what we've done is we've deconstructed some of the powerful and universal elements of storytelling that can basically be applied to any business.
Exactly. Well, it's understanding who a business is. Because we're all different. We're all unique. We all have our own story to tell. And you're right. You nailed it on the head. It's about authenticity. Because, for them to be like Jim Pattison and run their dealerships like Jim Pattison or Maury Keith or, any of the big dealerships, that's not who they are. And what they've done is they've created an experience that's unique to them. And be able, when people walk onto the lot, there's a special feeling. There's an emotion. There's a reaction. And people say, I either really like this or I don't. If they don't like this, they're gone. But if they do like this, then they are a customer, and they'll probably be a customer for life. Because what they've done is they've gone past it just being a transactional sale. They've bought it, it says, you're now part of our tribe. You know, you're one of us. And that's a really cool place to be. You know, but you know, one thing you brought back is that success, you know, overnight success takes 10 years. You know, and it's just, you know, and I can't, you know, I can't emphasize that long enough. Everybody sits there and says, oh, you know, all of a sudden he woke up and he was a you know, it was a multimillionaire. You know, Justin Bieber, you know, even Justin Bieber was not an overnight success. There was still, you know, time and effort and energy put into making him who he is. So from the minute you walked out of the booth, you know, in 1999 to when you were able to ramp up your business and be that success that you are, took time, and that energy that you use to be able to make yourself better incrementally that helps you help your customers. And I'm sure, you know, you can speak on that.
Well, and that really speaks to the essence of how, whether it's me, you, Justin Bieber, the huggable car dealer, no great brands are built overnight, they're built over time.
Right.
It's a long-term play. And that's one of the things as I, you know, continue to develop some original theories in the world of how the greatest brands in the world are built. Mm-hmm. You'll see one of the commonalities is longevity. And so many people are still looking for that instant fix. They will deny it
right
to your face. They will deny it, but the actions speak otherwise. Mm-hmm. Very few are going to do the kind of activities, you know, do the kind of actions that will actually plant seeds in the ground for future growth with no promise of immediate return. And that's something that not a lot of people are going to commit to,
right,
and follow through on. And that's one of the things that separates, in my view, you know, some of the greatest brands in the world from the many who are still trying to just grab on to that next short-term thing.
They're looking for the internet buyout. I mean, there's so many companies just looking for that internet buyout. They're sitting there going, we're going to create something and then Google's going to buy us out, or Microsoft's going to buy us out, or Adobe's going to buy us out, you know, for $100 million, $500 million, $1 billion. And you know what? Those things do happen. But what are they? 1/10 of 0.5% of all the businesses out there. You know, so it's I'd rather play the lottery. You know, it's the companies that realize consistently, day in and day out, this is who I am. This is what I do. This is why I do it. These are who our customers are. And this is why we care about them and they care about us. Let's focus on that consistently day after day after day in the good times and the bad times. Those are the companies that over the long term are going to be successful.
Yeah, and I saw a vivid firsthand example of that not too long ago. Through my travels, I was in Portland, Oregon, back in February. And right next door to Portland is a little town called Beaverton, which also happens to be the world headquarters of Nike. And so when you go to the Nike world headquarters, one of the things you appreciate right away, I'm not sure if you've been there or not, but it's one of those things where instantly the power of longevity and consistency through storytelling, the place is just awash in their old mythology. And I don't think it's any accident that Nike, its brand valuation is, according to Forbes magazine, is somewhere around $30 billion, which puts it at three times the level, three times the combined brand valuations of their top three competitors.
Combined.
Under Armour and Reebok, combined.
Yeah.
So they're not just winning by a little bit, they're winning by a lot.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I think is crucial to Nike's success or any of the great brands that I study would be this idea that everything we do is anchored to the power of story. So, for example,
absolutely,
I don't think it's by any accident when you go to the Nike World headquarters and you start going through the parking lot, you will see there's the celebrity parking spots. So yeah. Beyond Sanders has a parking space.
Yeah, and he may go there once a year. He may go there twice a year, but he's got a parking spot.
Yeah, so Deion Sanders, Kobe, and some other guys have all got their parking spaces. But what I found interesting was there is a parking space for Paul Bear Bryant. Now, Bear Bryant is the legendary Alabama football coach.
That's right.
You know, he passed away, what, 20, 25 years ago?
Something like that.
The fact that someone thought to put a parking space for Bear Bryant, knowing it would never be occupied.
That's right.
But what does it represent in terms of story and mythology?
Tradition.
It's tradition. It's honor. It's heritage. It's everything that Nike speaks to in terms of their brand, which is honoring athletics, great athletes, great competitors. I mean, there's a competitive spirit that is through and through what Nike does. And so that's just one small example.
Of oh, yeah.
What I see is how they bring their values to life.
Well, I mean, for me, it's the Masters. I look at the Masters in the exact same light. It's the fact of the green jacket. It's the champion's dinner. It's the, you know, it's a nine hole par three golf tournament on the Wednesday. It's all the little traditions around the game. It's not just, you know, 72 holes of golf. It is a tradition that goes back 80 plus years, and the greats of the greats of the greats have won this. And pass traditions on from younger, you know, the fact that you're a patron when you walk through the door, you know, and it's the fact that how special they make you feel and the stories that they create for the patron. So if you never walk through the gates of Augusta National again, you're hallowed because you're one of the people that have actually been there. You know, whether you played the course or not.
Yeah, whether you missed it. And it's funny you bring up the Masters, because you can look at the Masters and then you look at Nike and then you look at, you know, the Apples, the Harley Davidsons, the Ferraris. But then yeah. You look at companies like my friend, the Huggable Car Dealer, or then you look at the world famous gold and silver pawn shop out of Las Vegas, Nevada.
I was just there in January.
There you go. How many other pawn shops do you know that get 4,000 visitors a day?
Yeah, and lineups. And so, there's a lineup out the door to go to the pawn shop.
That's right. And so my point is, and this is something that, you know, in terms of, I know your show, Ben, and I congratulate you on the effort.
Thank you.
All about delivering value. All about delivering value. And I think what this conversation does right now is help anyone watching and listening realize there's tremendous power in generating business that is inbound as opposed to outbound.
Yeah,
and so
I agree.
All those examples, the Masters, you know, St. Andrews Golf Course out there in Scotland, all the greats that we've mentioned, all have this capacity, like a giant magnet. Their inbound business is so powerful.
Yeah.
And I know that we've seen, you know, over 11 years of firsthand market evidence with a used car deal in the middle of nowhere in New Brunswick. There's so much inbound business. And I could tell you many stories about that, but I think that's what's so crucial is that you got to realize there's a greater opportunity to plant the seeds for the future.
No, say that again. Sorry, you're breaking up.
Yeah, I'm going to
say, there you go.
Say there's a great opportunity for anyone to plant the seeds of the future, knowing full well you're not going to see results next week or next month. But
right.
Over time, not overnight, but over time, you create the environment. You basically plant that garden. It continues to grow and flourish. And over time, you eventually surpass everyone and become known as, quote unquote, the Ferrari of your space or the Harley Davidson of your space.
Well, it's how you make people feel. You know, it's, as you say, it's the stories you tell and the stories that people tell about you. And I think it's more important the stories that people tell about you than the stories that you tell about yourself. If people are loyal, if people believe in you, if people believe in your product and your service and how you treat them, they'll turn around and tell your story for you, and you can't buy that type of advertising. You know, you're never going to get that on a Facebook ad. You're never going to get that in Google Analytics. You're never going to see that. But if you have a loyal group of clients that believe in what you do and they understand your value to them, they're going to turn around and they're going to tell everybody, because they are craving to tell that story of how they were treated special, how they were treated beyond, the norm, that, when they actually came and they had a problem, somebody actually solved it for them. And that's a powerful thing. And I think that that's what's lacking in today's world, is that people don't understand the true value of their customers and how important they are to you. And they're not transactional. They're not, take what you can from them today because they may be gone tomorrow. You focus on who's important to you and treat them well consistently long-term. That's how you grow a business.
Well, and yes, and further to your point, there's never been more opportunity than to do that than right on the homepage of the website.
So absolutely.
My partner in business and life is Dana Zillick, and she's come up with just this fabulous description of what is the purpose of the homepage, for example. And I don't know how much research you've done. I know
tons.
Between Dane and I, we've studied, I'm sure, more than 5,000 websites. And virtually all of them are these glorified online brochures with nothing more than a bunch of photos and heavy on text, and never communicate the essence of who they are as opposed to what they do.
That's right.
And so over these last couple of years, we've recognized in our work that there's a great value of basically creating the Hollywood movie type trailer, not a commercial, that speaks more to who you are as opposed to the products and services you sell. And if you'll allow me, we had this vivid demonstration just last week. It was at Torrey Pines Golf Course in San Diego, actually La Jolla. So that's where Tiger Woods won his last championship in 2008. So there's this beautiful Torrey Pines Lodge. I was invited to speak at a conference for the Marine Leadership Alliance. And these are people who are a heavy B2B category.
Right.
And so they're selling everything from tarps for boats to instrumentation that goes on boats, to boat trailers, to everything related to boats.
Right.
And someone was asking me in the Q&A, well, how would you actually do this? Like, can you give us an example of how this would work? And the lady who asked the question, I said, Joan, see that handsome fellow right next to you, her husband? I said, let's grab you two and put you right up on stage, and I'll show you exactly how this happens. And of course, 200 people are more than happy to see Joan and Owen volunteered to go to the front of the room.
But of course.
Within moments, we're getting Joan and her husband to recreate the scenario that allowed them to launch their company in the first place back in the Carolinas in the 1970s.
Yeah.
And when I asked them to sort of retell the story of how it went, as it turns out, it's founded on a marriage proposal. And Owen drops...
What a great story.
Owen drops to one knee in front of these 200 of his peers and starts explaining and retelling the story of how he loved this girl so much and how he was not only going to be married to her in life, but in business as well. And so the whole audience, if you can imagine that, suddenly leans forward.
Oh, yeah, everybody's in like this.
they want to hear the story. And that was my point. My point, which I would share to everyone watching here, just like we talked about at Torrey Pines, is that you take that story, recreate it somehow on a video, and put a little bit of music to it, and put a little, you know, some throw in some family photographs, etc., etc. Anyone who's going to visit that company's website, they saw that video in a prominent place right on the homepage, and they knew right away that these two were all about.
Absolutely.
How much more interesting is that than just some photos of here's our boats, and
that's right,
and here's our stuff, and here's how much we sell them for.
It made it real. It you know, all of a sudden it went from we sell tarps to this is our life together. And that's, you know, that is a completely different sales thing and a completely different story that brings in a completely different audience. All of a sudden you got every woman in the audience going, oh my, you know, doing one of these. And that is an incredible thing. So Garrett, we could talk forever. We could talk forever, but I'm gonna let you go, but I got one last question I wanna ask you before you go. When you, you know, leave a room, get off a stage, you know, get in your car and start driving away, what's the number one thing you want people to think about you and your company when you're not in the room?
That's a fantastic question. In fact, it's such a good question. I'm going to maybe steal it and use it myself someday.
Absolutely. Give me kudos twice, and after that, it's yours.
Yeah, here's the... I'd like people to think that after, whether it's a conversation just one-on-one or it's one of these conferences that I do, Ben, that when I'm not there, they're left thinking about one word, and that word is possibilities. I had a friend of mine that said one day, says, you know, you don't solve problems, you help people see possibilities, the things that they can't even see.
Yeah.
And really, when Bob said that to me, I thought, you know, you're right. I don't think in terms of systematic problem solving. I do tend to think in terms of big picture. How do you make something larger than life? How do you not fit in and conform to the rest of the crowd? And story has been the constant for my career in terms of channeling the universal and timeless forces of storytelling to make that happen. So if I was to boil it down, Ben, to one word, it would be about, you know, the power of possibilities. I mean, let's face it, Columbus took a chance, Martin had a dream, and a single story.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, I love possibility, because I tell people, the glass isn't half full or half empty. It's refillable. And if you look at the possibility, if you can look at where we're heading, you know, and look at the opportunities that are ahead of us, it's an incredible thing. So, Garrett, thank you very much for being on the show. Hang out a second. I'm just going to, you know, say goodbye to everybody, and I'll be right back. It was great having Garrett as a guest today. He is a wonderful person, a great mentor, and somebody that I enjoy listening to all the time. Now, my name is Ben Baker, and my company is Your Brand Marketing. Now, 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, what do? We consult. We do workshops and keynote addresses on brand message, market, vision, and value. We want to tell the story of your brand. We want to help you stop being a commodity and start being a brand worth loving. Now, every Wednesday at 10 o'clock in the morning, this is the Your Living Brand.live show. We hope to see you next week. Have a great week.